We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's the most interactive sports show in South Carolina. It's in your ear canal right now, and it's great to be here with you on a Monday morning. What a week it is going to be, and what a weekend it was. Why I find myself in fans' crosshairs yet again. This, believe it or not, folks, is not what I try to do.
But you need to get a dog.
Just by being me, I seem to find myself under attack. What's a dog going to do for me, Lonzo?
It will occupy your time, so you're not throwing that stuff out there every Saturday
or
Sunday.
Well, wait a minute. There's a lot of good content that people need to see, a lot of good opinions that people need to hear. You know, I've got my producer saying, Mark, you got to get a life, get a wife, get a dog, go do different things.
I'm starting to worry for your safety.
Are you?
Each week, I don't look at Twitter on the weekend because I don't want to see what kind of trouble you're going to be in.
Wait a minute. Here's what you don't realize. What you just said is the worst possible thing you could say in my mom's eyes, okay? Like, because she's always worried for my safety. And I always tell my mom, Mom, if I die doing what I love, I accept that. You know, I accept that. I don't feel like my safety is threatened, Lonzo. You know, I think the worst thing that would ever happen is we're at a live show and someone comes up and sucker punches me. I don't think anyone wants to ruin their life by taking my life. But, you know, if my safety is threatened because someone might sucker punch me, so be it. You know, am I going to sacrifice my integrity to the audience, meaning I'm no longer sharing my opinions because I'm worried someone's going to punch me? I would never do that. I would never do that.
You need to take some sort of martial arts just to prepare yourself. And then, you know, then you'll learn how to bob and weave and duck and all the stuff that you need to do to get out of the way.
Yeah, like, and you hear things such as, Mark, you know, you better be prepared for those cement shoes on the bottom of Lake Hartwell. And all of those things. But look, man, you know, I'm here to give opinions. I'm here to share opinions. And outside of that, I'm here to let the chips fall where they may. And
I have a message for your mom. If I am there with him, I will try to divert the punch.
To thwart it.
Yes, I will attempt to.
You know, Mom,
I am older and, you know, my eyesight isn't as good as it used to be.
Well, Mom, you might not realize this, Mom, but let's share this with our audience, Lon. So we always say there's no difference between off-air conversation and on-air conversation.
No,
right?
You say
that. That's what I say, yes. That's what you get in terms of our transparency, but Lonzo, you've already kind of thwarted a situation that happened at a Boiling Springs a live show that we did. Remember that dude that came up to me? And because I was saying nobody wears South Carolina gear. And this dude, what did he say to you about me when I was doing the show? He said something to you about me, right?
See, you misheard. He said, if I were you, I would kick his butt because you were giving me a hard time or something. And he was very angry.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people don't like their team being disparaged.
He was very angry. He was very irrational.
But we appreciate you coming out to all our live remotes.
Oh, we certainly do. But I gravitate towards objective, rational people. That's kind of what I do. It's if you can't.
You may gravitate towards them, but the other kind are the ones that are going to gravitate towards you with some of the stuff you've been saying. That's all I.
Well, and we'll certainly get to what I have been saying, what has gotten me into the current viral mess that I'm in today, that I thoroughly enjoy, by the way. You know, Lonzo, I don't know if you realize this. Yesterday, I took a video of the line to get Trevor Lawrence's autograph. It set a record, as far as I can tell, for the most views a video we've ever posted has got. It's up to 21,000 views right now, the video of the line to get Trevor Lawrence's autograph. So, you know, look.
Was he giving out hair care tips? Do you know? Is that
he
what
was,
it was,
believe it or not. Yeah. I was up there listening to
him. That will cause the
line
to get pretty long.
I think he was. So I was at Clemson Fan Day yesterday. I'm going to tell you all about it. I saw Dabo's house yesterday. I'm going to tell you all about that, too. Okay, so had a ton of fun. Lots of other fun stuff to get to on the show today. Lonzo is successfully proving to me that there is at least one person in the upstate that wears Gamecock paraphernalia. He has worn Gamecock paraphernalia.
It's football season, man. I told you when football season rolls around.
I'm still not seeing anybody else, though. You're the only one.
You probably see me more than you see anybody.
Well, that's also true. So. That's also true. Yeah, again, Lonzo, I got to get a dog. You know, a dog will get me out, see more people.
Rescue animals. You can take them for a walk in the park. Single ladies like that sort of thing.
In honor of the Gamecocks, I'm also wearing garnet today.
That is not garnet.
Look at this,
Lonzo.
That
is not garnet.
It's in honor of all of the lovely Gamecock fans.
That's
here
like
in the upstate.
That's like a plum, man. That's not garnet.
This doesn't work for you?
It's plum.
Okay. Well, it's the closest thing I have. Folks, so on Friday, somebody who I'm not particularly a fan of, Heath Klein is his name, and he's a sports show host in Columbia who he does a very different style of show than I do. It's very analytical. It's very, you know, roster breakdown-y, and it's not really my style of show. What he doesn't remember, I don't think, is that my first ever job in radio, he was the host at the station, and it was in Gainesville, Florida. And he's a graduate of Florida, and I'm a graduate of Florida, and we just have very, very different styles. So Heath kind of got everybody's on me on Friday by tweeting to me that, Mark, Georgia Florida is accepting a transfer from Georgia. And you guys know that just a couple weeks ago, we were in the throes of this with Tavian Feaster, and I shared my rules for transferring to rivals, right? If you transfer to your number one rival, to your biggest rival, to your chief rival, that's a felony. If you transfer to any other rival, it's a misdemeanor. So I said Georgia's not Florida's biggest rival. I have people disputing me on that. We have a week-long poll going up on a really popular Florida website right now to determine who the biggest rival Florida has is. But be that as it may, in any case, you're right. I'm wrong. Florida accepted a transfer from Georgia, and I hate it. I don't like it. I think certain things should be about more than if this guy makes your team better. College football rivalries to me are sacred. They're absolutely sacred. And you don't violate the sanctity of a college football rivalry because a Georgia Bulldog player makes you better. And I felt the same way about South Carolina adding Tavian Feaster. No, we're not taking leftovers from you. We're not doing that. That's not what we do. But then you're reading more and you're learning more about this transfer portal in college football, and you're saying to yourself, man, now college coaches don't have the authority to block players from transferring to certain schools anymore. Something about the transfer portal has made that a violation of rules. The transfer portal means you can now transfer anywhere, whereas coaches would block that in the past. And I ask you guys this simple question here. Is this really what we want college football to be? Do we want college football to become free agency in professional sports? Is that really what we want? Is that really what we're after? Because that's what it looks like to me. And then anytime now that a transfer goes from Florida State to Florida, people are going to say C. And anytime a transfer goes from Georgia to Florida, people are going to say C. And what I'm realizing now is that that's just going to be the new college football. And I hate it. And when my great friend and mentor, the former executive producer of The Herd with Colin Cowherd, told me recently, Mark, we are entering, and I want you to realize this, one of the last seasons of college football as we know it. We're entering this season right now. I initially didn't know what he meant by it. But what he means by it is all of the noise for players to be paid. And what he means by it is how the transfer portal is changing the game in college athletics. Lonzo, I don't ever want college football to feel like professional sports. I don't want it to feel like, hey, this quarterback from Notre Dame, Brandon Winbush, no, not Brandon Winbush, the other guy that Florida got a few years ago from Notre Dame, it's not working out for him there. So Florida's just going to take a one-year rental on him. I think college athletics should be about more than that. It's about a 3 to 4 year experience of bonding with your teammates. I'm not a huge fan of these 1 year rentals, and I'm sure as hell not a fan of, all these transfers to within rivals. And I've said, Lonzo, look, the Tier 1 programs don't do this. Florida and Florida State, there's been one transfer in that rivalry, within that rivalry in the last 20 years. Ohio State and Michigan, there's been one transfer within that rivalry since prior to World War II. Texas and Oklahoma, I can't find one transfer between the rivalry. But with this net transfer portal now, Lonzo, it's going to happen time and time again.
When we were, when this first started, when the transfers first started, we were on the air talking about this a year or two ago, whenever this was. And I kept saying, this is the start of free agency. And I was told, you're crazy. It will never get to that point. And I'm like, why can't these guys see what this is going to be? This is ridiculous. And it's just, we're just seeing the beginnings of this. And
how do you feel about it?
I don't like it.
Me
I do
either.
Not.
I hate it.
I think when you commit to the team, I think you should stick with the team. It's what is football going to be like 2 years from now? I mean, as far as college football goes, I don't know.
And, you know, I was debating Will a bit about this at the Radiothon. Will is all for players' rights, and I feel like I'm for players' rights too, Lonzo. But I've long felt that they are being paid. And now they're being paid the full cost of attendance. So now they have money in their pocket. So if you got a scholarship, Alonzo, were you on scholarship back in the day for football?
No, D3 doesn't do D3
that. Doesn't do scholarships. Okay. But if you're being paid $100,000 to attend a school, if you don't have to pay the tuition that everyone else has, they're not actually giving you cash, but you're not having to pay something you otherwise would. That's the same thing to me as paying you money. You having a dorm room and you having three meals provided for you every day is the same thing as providing you money. And I never really understood what the hell the full cost of a scholarship even means, because to me, a scholarship is room and board and your classes. But now they're giving them even more money to be a full cost of attendance scholarship. So now the guys have money in their pocket as well. I think it's character building in college not to have money. You know, the ingenuity and the creativity that you think of within your brain when you don't have any money in college, I think is actually good for you, man. You should have strife in life. Nothing should come easy for everybody. And I've never really talked to you, Alonzo, about your feeling about pay for play and all that stuff. But my opinion has always been these guys are already paid.
I completely agree with you. And again, you know, I'm usually the only one who says that. I think once you sign that scholarship, you are getting paid. You don't need any extra pay. And then you hear about, well, these people come from poor families. I came from a poor neighborhood, poor family. I understand that part of it. But I'm sorry, your food and everything is paid for.
Yes.
What do you need more money for?
Yes, to take your girlfriend out on a date. So get a job. Right? Get a
job. Well, they're not allowed to have jobs, but still.
Some schools, yes. Some schools, no. I've seen and read different things about different players, what they are able to do at different schools. But yeah, I mean, long story short, Lonzo, you're and I can't believe I'm saying this because I feel like I get paid to disagree with you. But I think you're largely right here. And folks, with what this transfer portal is doing, where you have Brenton Cox, five-star defensive end, transferring to Florida, I'm telling you, folks, it doesn't change for me because it happened with my school. I don't suddenly say, hey, you know what? It's okay now because it happened in the Florida Gators' benefit. I hate it. I hate it. I hate Tavian Feaster going to South Carolina. I hate Brenton Cox going to Florida. I hate it. And I ask you the question, is this what we want college football to be? Because it's not what I want college football to be. I don't like the one and dones at Kentucky basketball. I don't know how those players, I don't know how the fan base cheers for that team. You know, the only thing you're cheering for is a mannequin in a jersey. Yet the team changes every single year completely. College football should be about learning to love a team over the 3 to 4 years of a team bonding together. College football is Jake Bentley. That's what it is to me, growing with Jake Bentley over a 3 or 4 year period of time. Not rent a player because he can help us for one season. I hate that, man. Can't stand it. All right, Steven joins us up next here on the show. Steven, thanks for the call. You're offside, Steven. Go ahead.
Hey, so I got to say, I kind of agree that I love that romanticized version of college football, right? Where you go to school for 4 years and you're a part of the team and, you know, you're truly amateurs, but it just doesn't exist anymore. And this is why I always push back and say, well, they're getting paid by their scholarship. it's not the real market that these guys are playing in anymore. If these guys were allowed to be true college students and take whatever schedule that they want and not have to travel across the country. I mean, the fact that the national championship game is played on a Monday night in California is evidence of the fact that none of this has to do with what's in the best interest of the student athlete. It's what's in the best interest of the fan, what's in the best interest of the school,
money,
what's in the bench,
you know, the networks, exactly. Of the television networks. Do you remember Stephen, back in the day when they were telling us we couldn't have a playoff because it would sacrifice academic studying time for the students? And I'm like, you're going to hit us with that's what you really care about. You're going to tell us that's what you really care about when it's obvious you don't.
Exactly. It's all a sham. Now, unfortunately, that genie's never going back in the bottle, right? So that's why I say at this point, let these kids make whatever, you know, if there's somebody out there that wants to pay them, who are we to say that they can't be paid for that? I agree with you that in this romanticized world, things would be better, but man, it's not the 50s.
Well, listen,
anymore.
Listen, Stephen, I'm a hopeless romantic, Stephen. I'm a hopeless romantic, and I would like you to deliver some romantic news to me that college football is not going to change. And what you're telling me is that chivalry is dead, Stephen. I'm not appreciating this very much.
Oh, it's completely dead. It's pro sports by another name. It's just a shame. I still love it. The past is great, but
I hate it, man.
It's not what it was.
I hate it. Stephen, thanks for the call, brother. Do appreciate it very, very much. Is this, ladies and gentlemen, what we want college football to be? 1-844-477-3776. I've been sick to my stomach about this the entire weekend. Coming your way next, an incredible honor for Cleland Farrell and some fighting words from what used to be a rival head coach. I'll explain. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate, talking about the transfer portal and how it's changing college football right before our eyes. Brenton Cox goes from Georgia to Florida. Tavian Feaster goes from Clemson to South Carolina. Coaches used to be able to block this stuff. I hate it. Is this what we want college football to be? Do we want it to be free agency in the NFL where you're renting a player for 1 year? That's not what I want it to be. It's not what I want it to be in any way, shape, or form. Diddy joins us right now for this segment to talk about a few different topics. And Diddy, a friend of mine, I mentioned that I'm blessed to have a mentor who's the former executive producer of The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Mm-hmm. And he told me, Mark, get ready to enjoy one of the very last college football seasons as we know it, in terms of college football looking and playing the way. And now I think, you know, guys like me are going to get lambasted because the transfers from Florida State to Florida are going to start flooding through now.
Yeah.
Florida to Florida State flooding through now. We never saw them because coaches could block them. I don't know why you'd ever do away with that. I don't think you want free agency between rivals.
Yeah, and I mean, it goes either way. I don't think it's necessarily as doom and gloom as a lot of people in college football are making it out to be. I mean, we will see more of it. Obviously, seeing just two of them in recent history is more than we've ever seen before. But you got to be honest, really only one of the two teams' coaches has to be upset by it. Like, Dabo probably doesn't want to see a guy who was a five-star coming out of high school go to South Carolina. You know, FSU doesn't want to see one of their five-star recruits not make it where they are, go to Florida or Georgia to Florida or anything else. But the team's getting them. I don't think they're going to mind. And I think, you know, for teams especially like a South Carolina, which is a totally different animal than Florida, Florida State, and Georgia, South Carolina is so far behind when it comes to being on the level of Clemson.
And
right
he
now.
Says that, folks, wearing a Carolina hat.
They just are. And you need to get guys who are that top quality of recruit, and you get them any way possible. Feaster was there.
I don't want Brenton Cox from Georgia. But that might make me in the minority. I don't want him.
I'm not interested. You're comparing one-to-one Florida to Carolina. Throughout history of college football, those are two very vastly different programs.
I don't want it throughout college football. Yeah. I don't want it existing anywhere in college football.
Florida gets five-star guys.
I don't want Mac. I don't want Mac conference rivals going from rival to rival. I'm not down with that.
I guess I'm used to it being originally from a pro sports only region. Being a New England kid growing up, we had to deal with Boggs ended up with the Yankees and get mad at him and his horse when they won the World Series. We had to deal with Clemens going to two different division rivals with the Blue Jays and Yankees. So I mean, it doesn't bother me as much. And again, the receiving end for Carolina is just too good to pass up when it comes to Atavian Feaster. To let that skilled of a player, that talent level of a player, not come to your school because of some kind of pettiness between you and a rival, I'm not liking that. I can see where a Clemson, you know, front office person, where Dabo Sweeney is like, hey, man, that stinks. How dare you go to our rival? But for Muschamp, it's, hey, our running game has been non-existent for 3 years. This kid's good. Let's take him.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. I'll tell you what, Diddy, Cleveland Farrell, with a hell of an honor over the weekend in his first preseason game, was a Raiders captain.
Yeah.
Was a Raiders captain in his first preseason game. A rookie is a captain, which speaks really to everything that John Gruden and Mike Mayock and company think about him. Now, he was the shock pick in the NFL draft in April because people had him going to like the Carolina Panthers with the 16th overall pick, not going with the 4th overall pick. In his first game action for the Raiders, Cleveland Farrell, 2 tackles, 1 tackle for loss in the game. But you never see a player that's a rookie serve as captain for his team. Absolutely, positively blown away by it. Here's John Gruden on Hard Knocks giving his rookie understudy some encouragement.
Yeah, first rush is your best thing you got. All right, don't think, overthink it. You come off the ball and he Clemson Tiger his ass.
That's a new phrase, right?
Hey.
That's a brand new phrase.
I mean, that speaks volumes to what Dabo's been able to do, because saying something in that respect 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 5 years ago even, was a joke. It was the Clemsoning was made fun of. Now to Clemson somebody is to beat them up, beat them down, and win, because that's what they've done the last 3 years.
You know, it's interesting to look back at what John Gruden and Mike Mayock did here. Was the number 4 pick in the draft, and why did you take him so high, and why did potentially you reach for him there? Here's Mike Mayock. It all goes back to this. There were flashier players who people may have had higher on their boards. On our board, it was him and Bosa right next to each other at that position. Here's what that tells me. Bosa was 1 and Farrell was 2, right? And so they had Bosa high on the list and explored moving up to get him, but the 49ers snatched him without trading down. That left Farrell as the next best defensive end option available, and the Raiders were sure to get him at 4. And Mayock says, you get phone calls, you have to make some considerations. You make phone calls and do the same thing. At the end of the day, we didn't think there was anything of enough value to cause us to change our plans. Let's say that's your guy, and you're not sure that somebody, you trade down to pick 12. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee he's going to be there at 12. Let's say someone else loves him almost as much as you do. Mayock continues, we knew pretty much he would be there at 4. Everybody else had all the big names up there, but John and I came in the morning of the draft and double-checked everything, and he was our guy. He checked all the boxes. He's going to be a 3-down player. He's 267 pounds. He's a captain, and this is what's really interesting to me. Mike Mayock, in talking to the, quote, guys at Clemson, which would have to be Venables and Sweeney, they say he was the cornerstone of that defense. Everything he does, not Christian Wilkins.
Yeah.
Cleveland Farrell, the cornerstone of that defense. Everything he does reminds me of what we want in the Raiders. When we sat in the room with Farrell at the combine, and I think one of 9 kids from a military whose father passed away, this kid can do so much, and all he had was this ball of positive energy. He was the energizer bunny for this national championship defense at Clemson. Everyone we talked to at Clemson said he was the guy. There's something about the culture at Clemson that you experience when you're down there, where it's a culture of positivity, it's a culture of family, and everyone you talk to, everyone you meet there is very polite. They learn these gentlemanly values, and then they take those values that Dabo Sweeney bestows upon them, and they slay these NFL interviews.
Yeah.
They slay them. Cleveland Farrell, they knew what he could do on tape. I think, Diddy, by and large, he was drafted as high as he was by blowing their socks off in the meeting room.
Yeah, right? Because not only can you get the job done on the field, you're going to be the kind of character that makes a difference in the locker room, makes a difference in getting the message across from coaches to players. You lead by example, and those are the kinds of kids you've seen come out of Dabo's system, the kids that fight and claw for their own piece, but also lead by example for the rest of the team to follow, and it changes cultures. And that's what's changed the culture at Clemson as a football team, is that kind of, you know, respect and fight instilled in them from above, from Dabo Sweeney.
There's no doubt about that. And I'd like to close today, Diddy. You and I were kind of kicking things back before the show today. And I had said to you, Diddy, why is it that in today's day and age, and I'm going to get a lot more into this in the next segment, what to make of something I heard at Clemson Fan Day, but why is it that so many fans are completely unable to be objective about something? If you say something that's critical of Clemson, all the Clemson fans bash you, and all the South Carolina fans retweet you. And the same is exactly true on the other side. For me, I'm a Florida fan. I'm a Florida graduate. I don't like them bringing in Brenton Cox.
Yeah.
I have deep concerns about the fact that four or five Florida Gators have had some sort of domestic abuse or domestic violence issue. I don't like that. I have no problem saying that. It's not, I don't have this you're either with us or against us mentality. I always tell people, your team is not your family. Get that out of your head. You are a paycheck to your team.
Yeah.
The way they view you is a paycheck. So stop thinking about them as a family. But why is it, Diddy, and I thought your take on this was interesting, why are we where we are today with everything in sports being so incredibly divisive?
I honestly think it's the modern political climate trickling down into our sports mentality. It's the inability to separate yourself from your side. There shouldn't be sides in any of this. And I'm not going to get political, I promise, but even politics, anything else, it shouldn't be sides. It should be what you as a human being personally believe. So you like a football team. That doesn't mean your football team's going to do every single thing you believe is right. And when they do something that you shouldn't believe is right, you don't have to defend them. But we've gotten to such a place society-wise on that level because of the trickle-down from the top of the taking divisive sides in politics, in religion, in everything down the line. It's become the same exact thing in sports, and we treat it the same. So I'm Clemson. I have to be Clemson. I'm always Clemson no matter what. Osterian thing happens. Oh, I don't care what you say. They're fine. Well, here's some evidence. Oh, I don't care what you say. They didn't
do anything wrong.
100%. Flip side.
Do you believe they did nothing wrong? You just defend blindly your school. In South Carolina fans the same way. Just defend blindly.
Exactly.
Ask questions later. No. What do you believe? What do you believe
is the
right thing?
It doesn't matter
what
the facts are anymore, because I've chosen this side, and no matter what you say or do, I won't waver. And that's awful. It's awful.
I don't know what percentage of fans are that way, but it's very hard for me to respect those fans.
I still think it's a smaller percentage. It's the Twitter fans. It's the blatantly obnoxious trolls on social media.
Yeah,
it's not everybody. And I know a ton of Clemson fans. Majority of the ones that cause trouble are the ones that never stepped foot into the university other than the football stadium. The ones at Carolina that caused the most trouble are the ones that never stepped foot into the university other than the football stadium. So you don't technically see this very often from the alums. It comes from the outliers. And they get so passionate and so desperate to prove their loyalty, they go just completely bonkers and attack people on Twitter because, God forbid, you have a differing opinion.
I don't know who they attacked, Diddy.
How dare they?
Yeah. I don't know who they're attacking around here. But, to those people, get a life.
Yeah.
It's sports. It's a game. If it's become more than that to you, that means that you need a life. That means that you need to go out and you need to learn how to put sports in proper perspective. They're not your family. Your happiness shouldn't depend on whether Clemson wins the national title or South Carolina wins the SEC. It should never be about that. And frankly, I don't get it. All right. Diddy, great stuff as always.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Inside the Mind of Diddy, and we have a South Carolina Gamecock blog coming up your way now.
The Gamecock blog was last week. It's up right now. You can still get it, and more stuff coming this Wednesday.
Fantastic. What to make of something I heard at Clemson Fan Day coming your way next, right here on the most interactive sports show in South Carolina, You're Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate, the fastest growing, most interactive sports show in the state of South Carolina. Great to be with you. Monday edition of the show. So I went to Clemson's Fan Day yesterday, and I was blown away.
Really? You went there? I didn't know.
20,000 people in attendance. Lines down the entire street at Clemson. Everyone in a good mood, despite standing outside in 97-degree heat. No shade available for anybody. They're all out there. The players are out there. Everybody's having a great time. Posted them up on our station Twitter account at ESPN Upstate if you'd like to peruse those. But Travis Etienne is up there. Trevor Lawrence is up there. Dabo Swinney's up there. Clemson let me bypass all the lines just to go right to the front and take pictures. Not pictures of me with these people, just pictures of the people, right? So it was just kind of a celebratory day. Was really blown away by what I saw. I had a cool thing happen, which let me know that we've kind of made some inroads right now in the area. I was recognized on two different occasions by people who just said, "You look like Mark Ryan. Are you Mark Ryan?" So twice that happened to me while I was there, which was a really, really cool thing to happen.
How'd you answer? Did you go, "Do you like Mark Ryan?"
I said, "That depends on what you think of me."
There you go.
Are you Mark Ryan? That depends on what you think. If you don't like me, no, I'll go get him though for you. Okay. So people were really, really nice. People were really friendly. People really liked the show. Whenever somebody, you know, mentions to me or says, comes up to us, Lonzo, at a public event, I always say to people, how can we make the show better? And both of these people, they're like, "Mark, I love the show. I don't know how to make it better. I think you're really connecting well with people here in the upstate. And that warms the cockles of my heart. It really, really does. So I've got something to tell you in the next segment that you're going to find really interesting as well. So I can't wait to share that with you. But be that as it may, a great experience at Clemson Fan Day yesterday, a great response from our audience on social media. And then, Lonzo, as I was getting ready to leave, I ran into a well-known media member from our area here, okay? And I'm not going to reveal his name because he didn't ask for the heat that I took yesterday, okay? He didn't ask for this, but when I'm talking to a media member and a media member tells me something that I think would be of interest to the audience, I'm going to share it with the audience and I'm not going to reveal the media member's name. That's how that's going to go, because part of being the most transparent show you've ever seen is I'm going to bring you behind the curtain in ways that you've never been brought behind the curtain before. So this particular tweet that I sent out now, Lonzo, has, let's see the current stats. Oh, dear God. It has been viewed 32,000 times, and 1,811 people have clicked on my profile as if to say, "Who the hell is this guy?" As a result of this tweet. And here is the tweet. A media member to me just now, quote, "At South Carolina, they do fan day for 1 hour and they give you a small poster. Here at Clemson, they go for a full 2.5 hours in the heat of day and are handing out thousands of autograph books. They're national champs. They don't have to do this, but they do." End quote. That is the quote that I received, that I was told in chatting with a very respected media member here in our area, right? A media member that a lot of people know. And I'm not going to put his name on that, but Lonzo, that's what I was told. And, you know, like, no matter what that said, if he had told me, "Mark, South Carolina's fan day is 10 times better than this," I would have tweeted it. If he told me what he did tell me, I would tweet it. If I think it's of interest and I think people will respond to it, I'll tweet it out there because it's somebody's opinion. It's somebody's observation from having been to both fan days. And Katie, bar the door on my responses after that, man. This thing has been liked 370 times. It's been viewed 30,000 times. I have been once again called every name in the book by some, but very clearly not all, South Carolina fans. And South Carolina fans, does that warrant you calling me names? If I tweet that out there, if I share with you what a media member shares with me, does that warrant you throwing sharp, pointy objects at me and saying very, very hurtful things in my direction?
Actually, yeah, I think it does warrant it, because that's just another sign that football season is starting. We're just a few weeks away from kickoff. It's very exciting. People are getting hyped. They're getting ready to go. And I'd be curious to know who that media person was and how, if they were wearing orange underwear, which quite possibly may be the case. And if that person is someone embedded with that team, then they have bias. And as a media member, if they're not like a talk show host, they shouldn't have bias.
It was somebody not affiliated with the team, and it was somebody there for an entirely different network. Okay, so and it was a person who, because they live and work in this area, they get around to South Carolina events, Clemson events, so on and so forth. So, you know, if you're me, Lonzo, you know that on this show, I think some of my most favorite segments that you and I have had are playing up the rivalry, the Palmetto rivalry, is playing into that. When we had the tailgate challenge, what school does tailgating the best? When we had the campus challenge, you know, what campus is prettier, more scenic, so on and so forth. Those are some of my favorite segments. So naturally, if I hear something about the rivalry that's comparing the two schools and it's said to me by somebody else, I'll share it with you. And, you know, I put this out there, and it has gone viral yet again. You know, everybody, I continue to hear, Lonzo, that, man, you are dying on the wrong hill, and this guy's not going to last here, and this guy's... Guess what happened yesterday, all right? I lost 20 followers. I gained 40 yesterday. And it's always like that. Every single time I put this up there. Lonzo, let me show you something, okay? Let me show you something. Can you tell me what my lost followers and my new followers are for the last 30 days?
The new followers, 176, unfollowers, 106. So that's a net gain of 70.
A net gain of 70 followers, yes. Right? I've gained 176. I've lost 106. I'm gaining, all right? And I continue to gain. And you know, by feeding into the rivalry and playing into the rivalry, I'm absolutely going to share that stuff, because I have my ear to the ground for you. You know, what I hope to gain out of this is to bring you behind the scenes and be more transparent with you than any other sports media personality ever has been. That's what I want to do for you. I really do. I mean, I want to bring you guys behind the curtain. I want you to hear what I'm hearing. I want to have my ear to the ground for you. And so if you don't like what I hear, there's not a whole hell of a lot I can do about that. Sometimes you may like what I've heard, and sometimes you may not like what I've heard, all right? And what I hear, you'll hear. And if I were in your shoes, I'd want to know what's being said behind closed doors if I was a fan. And that's why I share all that stuff with you. All right, coming up next, My little trip to Clemson yesterday took a surprising detour after Clemson Fan Day. I'll tell you about that when Offsides with Mark Ryan continues right after this on ESPN Upstate. Is it time for Lonzo to face the music on something? He's going to say no. We'll tackle that at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Okay, so I was at Clemson Fan Day yesterday, as you know. An amazing scene, 20,000 people there. Got right up close with Dabo Swinney, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne. But during my time there and in the lines and talking to fans, here's what I heard three different times. And on the third time, Lonzo, I said, I got to do something about this. So three different people said to me, I said, what do I need to do while I'm here in town? It's my third time here in town since I moved here. What do I need to do? They said, have you seen Dabo's house? And I said, no, I would imagine that's probably pretty hard to get to. And they said, no, it's just right around the corner here. I said, what? It's not in a gated community? No, not in a gated community. It's just right around the corner here. Have you seen Dabo's house? So I'm not going to share with you what people shared with me just out of professional respect and courtesy and privacy, but every single person knew exactly where his house was, knew the address and the neighborhood in which he lives. So they're like, yeah, put it in your GPS right now. It's right around the corner. I put it in, it's 8 minutes. So when I left...
How do you know for sure that's his house, though? Does it say Dabo's house on it?
Because here's what I did, Lonzo. Here's what I did. I looked up Dabo's house, and they had pictures of the house as it was being made, and Tiger Moving moved him in. And so I saw those pictures. And then right when you get to that neighborhood, here's what jumped out to me. I can't believe this, Lonzo. Number one, because I drove by LeBron's house in Akron, Ohio, right? I drove by LeBron's house. LeBron's house is completely gated like a castle. It has a moat, almost, for crying out loud. And there's a permanent 24-hour security guard there, right? Dabo's house, not only is there no security guard there, there's no gate to enter the neighborhood. And Dabo's house, Lonzo, is the very first house in the entire neighborhood. So as soon as you enter the neighborhood, his house is right there. It is right there. And I was just taken by the fact that, you know, like some people call the love from a college team and their fan base to, you know, the love from a fan base to its college team, they call it like the Truman Show. You're insulated by a protective bubble. And I'm just like, maybe Dabo doesn't need security because he's got security from everyone else living around here.
Hey, when you're the king, everybody's your subject. That's all I'm saying.
Good God. So on the way, so I leave the Fanda yesterday and I just put in the address to Dabo's home. The three different people. Oh, yeah. They talk about it like it's a landmark. Hell yeah. Have you been to Dabo's home? Go see Dabo's home. So I'm like, okay. So I put in the address. It says 8 minutes. I drive the exact way that Dabo Sweeney goes home from work every day. I go right into the neighborhood. There's no gate. His house is the first one there. I literally was in shock. There was no security. There was no gate. There was no anything. It's just the love from one city to one head coach, and the entire city is his bodyguard. Who needs bodyguards when the entire city has your back? It was unbelievable. I'll show you a picture of it during the commercial break here, Lonzo. All right, coming your way next. Key observations on the NFL games that were over the weekend. And is it time for Lonzo to admit he was wrong on something? This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.